Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Earners, listen up. When people all around the world first started going out protesting this summer, you'd hear it over and over: this time is different. But how? And who are the people trying to make it different? In Gimlet's new podcast, Resistance, host Saeed Tijan Thomas Jr. brings us stories from the front lines of the movement for Black lives told by the generation fighting for the change. It's a show about people refusing to accept things as they are and how we can make sure this time really is different. Resistance is out now. Follow and listen for free on Spotify.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Earn Your Leisure United Masters Edition.
Yeah, that's our partners.
SelectCon. Shout out to the good folks at United Masters.
Yeah, shout out to Dave, Christine, holding it down over there. Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, good people, good people. So today's going to be an exciting conversation. We have two dynamites that we're going to talk about, you know, the world of music, the world of business,
financial services, finances, world.
All of that stuff. So first up to bat for the introduction, Toby Ngwigwe.
Ngwigwe. Ngwigwe. Did I get it?
Ngwigwe. I ain't mad at you.
My name is Rashad Bilal. So people mess up my name all the time. So I'm hypersensitive whenever I never want to disrespect somebody's name.
He usually just goes, "You do it." And I'll be like, "All right, I'm gonna botch it."
They call me Rashid, they call me all kinds of stuff. So I'm sorry.
Heard way more, way worse in A-Leaf with substitutes.
And Say Cool Kaylin.
Kaylin. Got you.
So Say Cool is the head of the Advanced Black Pathways at Chase, a managing partner at Chase, managing director at Chase. He's been with Chase for 15 years and he's been in the banking industry for 20 years. And Toby is one of the hottest artists in the game right now.
Independent artist.
One of the most dangerous MCs coming out of the A-Leaf, SWAT.
Yeah.
We learned about the SWAT.
How I'm doing?
Yeah. So Toby is really dope because he has a really interesting backstory. He's Nigerian. Mm-hmm. He went to college for I think 4 years. I believe he used to be an athlete. And he told his family that he wanted to be a rapper. And they was like, "Why you want to be a rapper?
What is this?"
Yeah. But if you follow him on Instagram, he's like a very eclectic kind of guy because he's from Houston, but it's like you might see him with gold teeth in his mouth, but then he has like live instruments, and then he does a lot of political activism. So it's like a lot of different flavors.
Yeah.
It's like a gumbo almost.
Yeah, he's marketing it himself, branding it himself.
Yeah, yeah. He's
putting it out himself. This guy is a dynamo.
He's a dynamo. And it's no wonder that he's working with United Masters because he's independent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a conversation that we're going to have. So Toby, first and foremost, thank you for joining us. I want to start with you, then Say Cool. I'm going to go to you. So Toby, you come from, like I said, an interesting background as far as like, you know, being an athlete, going to college, and then wanting to be an entertainer. So taking an independent route, like, is that something that was taught in your household as far as, you know, having African parents? We all know that. I think Nigerians have the highest level of college degrees, I believe, out of any ethnic group in America, something like that. So was that something that, you know, you think had a head start as far as the business standpoint in your household?
Oh, no, absolutely not. That's a strong hell no. My parents wanted me to do something extremely safe. They wanted me to do the natural Nigerian stuff, doctor, lawyer, engineer. So when I told them I was going to be doing what I was going to be doing, and it all started from like a nonprofit, my mom looked at me like, "Why?" Like, you know, Nigerians master the art of overdramatic negative encouragement. So like her first reaction to me being an entrepreneur and starting a nonprofit is, "Oh my God, why has God forsaken me? What have I done to deserve this type of cost?" So, you know what I'm saying? She just couldn't understand like how it was gonna work out for me because like she and I had to take it with a grain of salt because most Nigerian parents, especially for their first generation born kids in the U.S., they feel like, look, us doing what we had to do to get here was risk enough. Get into something that's going to give you something right now, get you some ends right now, and don't do nothing else risky. We risked it all. You good. But once she saw like all the, you know what I'm saying, accolades and everything that's came with me being an independent artist, an entrepreneur, a business owner, all that type of stuff, the Dave Chappelle, the Beyonce playlist, the Michelle Obama stuff, like she's relaxed.
We can't let that go over our heads. Like, those are some prominent names you just said. Hell of an accomplishment.
We real blessed in this season.
So I got a quick question. When it comes to being independent, I know there's a lot that comes with everything is on you. Has there been a time from the beginning where your artistic vision actually collided with your financial reality?
Oh, yeah. When I first started, because, you know what I'm saying? I was broke.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I had vision for what I wanted to do. But what it made me do was master the art of being resourceful. So I mastered being able to do stuff with absolutely nothing, no budget, no none of the extra stuff. So everything that I do now, in my mind, low key, it's a luxury. So I can do much with absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's important. That's important.
You know, it's interesting, especially like we're from New York, but I always admired the South. I was always a big fan of the South, and one of the things I always admired about the South is that the business acumen of a lot of the guys from the South early on, even from a Jay Prince, Master P, Slim Baby, it seems like down South they was ahead of that wave as far as like independent and like selling music out your trunk, where the bigger artists in New York at that time was signed to Def Jam.
Can we get to Def Jam?
Yeah,
that was
they
it.
Were signing the deal.
Bad Boy.
So, the day and age that we in now, right, where it's like you don't technically need a label. But a lot of artists are still signing to labels. Like the biggest artists in the game are still signed to labels.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how do you go ahead?
Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, I don't necessarily believe that everybody don't need to be signed to a label. And this is my thought process. Because at first I was like, bruh, what are y'all doing? You know, they getting all your money, blah 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 blah. You could do this all yourself. But everybody don't got vision like that. Everybody can't like. Don't know how to brand themselves, market themselves, write their own stuff, direct their own videos. And I think because some of that stuff come like not necessarily easy, but natural to me, I'm thinking like, yo, y'all should be able to do this too. If y'all just, you know what I'm saying, put the grind forth, but that's not how everybody not built like that. And some people do need people to like brand it all up, market it all up, package it all together for you. Get somebody to write your stuff, get somebody to direct your video. You don't really got no vision for how you wanna put your stuff out. You know what I'm saying? So I used to be on everybody should be independent. Now I really don't even, I promise you, I'm 50-50.
But so yeah, so what I was gonna ask is like, you as an independent artist coming up, right? Like how important, cause we talk to business owners a lot on the podcast, and we talk about systems, like creating systems. But I feel like for artists, you have to have systems in place as well. Like as far as like you said, your merch, your videos. So when did you realize that you have to actually have systems in place? And how was it actually putting systems in place to actually run your music? Like it is a business. So like, can you talk about that for like an aspiring artist that may want to be independent, but they don't really know how to run a business and they're not really sure about like the best way to go about it?
Yeah, I realized I needed systems in place when I was about to burn out and die, trying to package all the stuff, write all the songs, help produce all the songs, direct all the videos, and the merch thing was real tough for me, but I had to get, but choosing like a specific type of person and a specific group of people to help me with the stuff that I'm doing was extremely key. I need a specific type of person. You got to be good people, and then you got to understand that we independent. Like there's nothing, whatever needs to be done, we gonna have to do it. And I had to get people that had that mindset and not the like 9-to-5 stuff should already be taken care of type of mindset. So,
Seiko, I want to bring you in for. No, go ahead, Toby.
No. That's basically it. I just had to get a specific type of person. And you know, I'm real family oriented, real relational. So, you know, I do all of this with my family. And like I said, I mastered the art of being resourceful. So I literally chose to do this with people who I do life with. And not that they were just like extreme experts or nothing like that, because they weren't. My wife ain't know nothing about none of this industry. Nell was literally just starting to make beats when I started to rap. So she wasn't like Timbaland, Swiss. She wasn't like no crazy producer like that. The majority of the stuff that she was sending me was like Poochies.
Yeah. Y'all gonna grow together.
You gotta work this way when you coming up. You can't like be like, oh, let me get up there. Nah, find somebody that's on your level and then everybody come up together.
Yeah, that's something we stress a lot is like look sideways, man. You don't always have to look up to find somebody who's doing it the best. Like a lot of times if you look to the side, you can grow together. So that's definitely important. Sekou, I want to bring you in because we're talking about financial literacy and how it affects artists. And I want to know how ABP, because we learn through music. We admittedly talk about that a lot. Like we learned a lot of our lessons through music. I want to know what the role that ABP is going to be playing in terms of getting that financial literacy, financial growth to our community.
Well, it's a critically important question. So Advancing Black Pathways, we launched in 2019, really to focus on strengthening the economic foundation of the Black community. And a key part of that is the financial health, because too often people make the mistake in thinking it's how much you make, but it's not what you make, it's what you keep and grow. And so talking about financial health, which has been a taboo topic in our community, right? My parents didn't talk to me about money, right? So if I then enter like the work world, these things, you know, weren't firsthand to me and working in banking. So for us, we've launched a number of initiatives to really promote, you know, the dialogue and show what tools you can leverage so that you can actually grow and build wealth. So it is important. And about the music, one thing that's interesting to me is the evolution of materialism or the finances in the music. See, I remember when Dougie Fresh was talking about, I'm in a Cherokee and Chill Wheels in the Audi, right? And then you go along, then all of a sudden you got the Lambos and Bugattis. Like something happened in that time frame, but yet we don't hear the focus on the assets that actually, you know, grow and that enable you to build wealth and appreciate versus depreciate. So just getting people to really anchor on, you know, how do you build and grow wealth?
So, all right, so coming from a corporate background, you're in the corporate world, right? So you guys have three different, pathways with wealth creation, careers, and education, right? So can you talk about each one individually? Because I think one thing, like we talk a lot with entrepreneurs and stuff like that, but as even Toby said, everybody's not going to be an entrepreneur, and that's okay. Like some people are just not cut out to be entrepreneurs, right? So I'm interested to hear your idea about careers, because we know, like, even I think Black women get college degrees at the highest rate, but they're still underpaid. They still
businesses at the fastest rate. Yeah, any demographic.
Indeed,
absolutely. But and they get venture capital at the lowest rate. And you,
4.2%.
Yep. So, yeah, how do we make this right in the corporate world?
So what we're doing from Advancing Black Pathways is, one, supporting the entrepreneurship, but I'll get to that. But the education piece for us, you know, we made a commitment to hire 4,000, you know, Black students, right? And put them on pathways where they can earn, you know, have a great career and earn, again, a lot of money. And so that was important for us. And in the first year, we hired over 1,000 students, but really giving them that pathway and showing them the art of the possible, but also, you know, overlaying financial health. So we did this at Howard University and we're doing it at all schools, but to try to, at an earlier stage, you know, make sure we're highlighting the importance of financial topics because, and you may appreciate this, our generation, we used to talk about keeping it 100, which meant keeping it real. And I want to get people talking about keeping it 700, meaning keeping your credit score above 700 so that you can access the banking industry. And so that's where we have to shift the dialogue and really talk about, as we thinking about education in our career, focus on financial health earlier. And the importance of entrepreneurship, that's where wealth is created. Black entrepreneurs have 12 times the net worth of Black non-entrepreneurs, right? So that's why we've created this program to truly get access to capital, content, advisory services for Black entrepreneurs, because that's the only way we're going to really create jobs and grow and strengthen our community. Entrepreneurship has always been the way for Black folks when there was no corporate path, right? And so entrepreneurship remains critical for our wealth building in our community.
I'm thinking now, like, especially from an artist standpoint, like, could there be some type of financial service company that comes along and decides to partner with an artist or a brand like United Masters to give people a training, right? Like I know that, you know, 21 Savage is doing financial literacy and I love what Killer Mike is doing and obviously what we're trying to do for the community. But in other professions, like even in the NBA, like they have a rookie camp or, you know, something like that prepares them for the, what's about to happen when they come into money. I'm wondering what you think the benefits of that would be. Toby, you can answer that, and Sekou, you can answer from the financial service standpoint, the benefits of that and why we haven't, you know, come to form a coalition that, that would facilitate that.
Yeah. Well, I think it'll be phenomenal because I feel like there's so many artists that don't have a clue what's going on in the industry when they get involved. And I'll be honest, when I first started doing music, I didn't have a clue. I just had the talent and the vision to do what I was doing, but I had to get with some people who were well-versed in the industry that could give me game. I got with, you know what I'm saying, Steve Stout gave me a lot of game when I first went to meet with him in his office and let me know, like, hey, just keep doing what you're doing. Like, you're doing all the things that you need to do, and you really don't need no label. And in my mind, I was like, shoot, I might have to get a label when I first started, but it's because I didn't have any foreknowledge of the industry. So I think financial literacy, and then just literacy of the industry, if a coalition could be set up for artists in that vein, it'll be monumental, and labels would be hurt.
Yeah. I agree. And I think, you know, taking away the shame, like no judgment, no shame. Like sometimes we don't want to talk about, you know, as it relates to these financial services, you know, some of these topics because we may not know. But anything else, you would ask your, if I'm visiting Houston, I'm going to ask him, hey, where should I get my haircut? Like, or where should I pick up something for tonight? But I'm not asking you, hey, how'd you get your mortgage? Like what process did you go through? Right. And when we can create those dialogues in a way that, again, makes the information readily accessible, and then we're promoting those dialogues within the community, like Steve Stout could put you on game, and not only about as an artist, but more broadly how he's navigated. And so I think that's what's needed in this time more than ever, that the information has to be shared. Right. And so that's through Advancing Black Pathways, what we're trying to do. Like, I don't care if you bank with J.P. Morgan Chase or not. You should know your credit score. I'll tell you how to get it free, Credit Journey at Chase. It's not about Chase, this is about the Black community and making sure we have these tools readily available where people can access it and learn.
Yeah, I think I was watching Drink Champs one day, and Noriega had actually said that rappers should have a union.
Yeah.
Even like actors have the SAG, and it's like, you know, even... Yeah, because Beanie Siegel is one of our favorite artists, and when he was like, I can't eat off $100,000, yeah. No dental plan. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't even have benefits. So it's a lot of stuff that young aspiring artists don't fully understand. But say, cool, I have a question, and actually I would love to get Toby's input on it as well. So I'm in the financial services industry, and the disconnect that I've seen, and I think one of the reasons why Earn Your Leisure is so popular is that in the Black community, there's been a lot of initiatives, but I think the messenger is extremely important, like who's relaying the message, right? Because it's like a lot of times, especially young people, but even older people, they feel disconnected, disenfranchised with traditional institutions and people, the delivery of certain people. So even if it's good intentions, it's like if you don't have a credible messenger or a relatable messenger, then it kind of just goes over people's heads. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I think that's one of the reasons that people really like our podcast, because they see us as just regular people, and we just dress like regular people. We're not like, we don't have ascots. Like, we're not the most polished as far as our diction is concerned.
That was good. That was good.
So how are you guys, Chase? How are you? Because I feel like Troy said, we learned from rappers. Honestly, like we learned more from Jay-Z. He's our guy. We learned more from Jay than we learned in high school. And I even feel now, like I feel like for Meek Mill to make financial literacy cool,
yeah,
is even more powerful than, you know, the Secretary of Treasury. Like, nobody even knows his name.
They can't pronounce his name. They can't spell his name. They don't know him.
They're going to do a worse job butchering the name than I did earlier. So who does Chase have to relay this message? First for you, Sekou, and Toby, for you, how important is hip hop and being responsible? And because you guys have a tremendous voice, like you put that Breonna Taylor video out and it gets millions of views.
That was all on my feed.
Yeah. So hip hop artists, I think, have a tremendous voice, responsibility, but if they're not educated themselves, then they can't.
Right.
So Sekou, who's the messengers that Chase is going to use to get this message of financial literacy out to the community?
piece really quickly, because Jay-Z, I agree, the story of OJ, that lyric about Dumbo, I could have bought a $2 million building that then sold for $25 million. How do I feel, Dumbo? I mean, yes, like the if people have the insights, they can absolutely incorporate it, you know, into the music. In terms of like the messenger, that becomes critically important. You know, blacks, for good reason, don't trust a lot of large institutions, because our history in this country, some of these institutions have not served us well, quite frankly. And so that's why we work with the board of advisors. So I work really closely with Kevin Hart, for instance. In one of the meetings, Kevin Hart was like, "That what you just said is exactly what he said, that he's involved with Advancing Black Pathways because he wants to reach the community and have people hear from his mistakes." And I took him around Harlem Children's Zone and different schools in New York to talk to these students about his money mistakes. So when you thought he was making money, he would tell you, "I was dead broke." Right. And here's the mistakes I made along the way. And so I think unless you have credible messengers, right, and I'll give you the best example of a credible messenger. The CEO of Chase Bank is a black woman, Tashunda Brown Duckett. She runs the largest bank in this country. The actual CEO of the bank side, Chase, the fact that we have a black woman running the largest bank in this country, it is unheard of, right? And so, again, and she can leverage that same intentionality. So as we've built all these new branches across the country, we've built these branches, some of these branches in, you know, black and brown communities, right? And so we can be intentional about how we reach, how we hire, who we hire, because that's the way you could truly reach people in the community. So while not perfect by any means, but that is at least a start where you, to your point, if you don't have the right messenger, like, you're going to lose me at from the get-go. So that is a very critical point, and we're very mindful of it. And that's why we want to hire, right? That's why we're hiring people across the bank. That's why we're hiring black financial advisors that understand us, that can give us messaging that really is appropriate as well. So it's a great question, and that's the intentionality we have with Advancing Black Path.
Toby, how do you feel about hip hop's role? And because we see hip hop taking a stance on police brutality and a lot of stuff, but financial literacy, I feel like the reason why our podcast is successful is because a lot of artists, Rick Ross, Jay-Z, yeah, Nipsey Hussle,
Nas,
yes, have taken a stance on financial literacy. So what is hip hop's role in relaying this message?
I really think, hold on real quick, my baby is going out of her mind. Hey. Yeah. Doing the conference.
That's us?
I got two under one.
Wow.
Yeah, my back-to-back game stronger than Drake. I ain't gonna lie to you. All right, so, but this is what I would say. I think it really depends on the artist. And I had to learn this myself because I am very conscious of every single thing that I put out, and I want my stuff to... My stuff is for a specific group of people who come from where I come from, who didn't have anybody to give them game. Similar to what y'all do at Earn Your Leisure. You're literally trying to give game to the people who you know ain't gonna get this information too many other places. So that's me specifically. But everybody ain't get involved in music to do that. Some people just got in music to get money. Some people just got in music to, for whatever reason, but it ain't to literally empower your people. You understand what I'm saying? Some people got into to flash, to some people were very lame growing up and they won't get chicks now. And this is their means to, you know what I'm saying, fill that void that they got in their life. So I hold artists to a completely different standard, and I would hold them accountable to whatever it is, to the financial literacy stuff, if that was somewhere embedded in their goal for when they, in their why or their reason for starting to do music. If that ain't really what you got into it for, I can't really hold you accountable to that. I could just, you know what I'm saying? I could just be like, well, you really kind of working against the grain and really working against my message, but why I got in ain't why you got in. So I think it really just depends on the artist. I think Dave Chappelle said something like, in times of crisis, or in one of his stand-ups or something like that, he was like, the last thing you want to hear is, what does Ja Rule they gone. You know what I'm saying?
Why does he always come on Ja Rule? That's like the fifth time he said something about Ja Rule.
Bro, I have no clue. And watch this. Ja Rule, but you know what I'm saying? I understand what the joke was. Like, it's a lot of stuff going on right now. And Ja ain't never put himself out there as the person that's going to be the go-to person for Black trauma.
He's our spokesperson. Shout out to Hollis Queen.
Sorry, another like point on that, and I was listening, Yo Gotti has a song out, Recession Proof, which again captures basically the cycles we've seen, that whether it was the NBA lockout in 99 where you had cats selling their watches, which he talks about in his lyric, like if we don't incorporate like this financial literacy early on, people don't realize as you begin to make money, like you can hit recessions, it could be COVID-19. And so that's why, like, if you're learning these concepts early and you're saving and you have a liquidity, a rainy day fund, then you can navigate the storm. Because then what happens is, like, you know, we get caught, one, we're starting with less, you know, given structural inequities in this country. You know, two, even the businesses or the artists, you know, you may have less cash on hand. And so if you're not managing that, like, you could be right at your breakthrough, but because you haven't been able to navigate the storm, you have to make decisions that don't ultimately, you know, prepare you to continue to capitalize on your talent. And so, again, I think the creative mindset, like, you're an artist because you're creative, right? And so we still have to marry in that financial health. It doesn't have to be your main thing. It just needs to be a part of how you navigate your personal life. That's not about your artistry as much as it is about maximizing what is done from your artistry.
Yeah.
Sekou, really quickly, I'm happy you said that we have to start early. I was wondering, ABP, are we going into schools? Are there educational programs, mentorships, internships? Because that was something that our podcast was founded on, was like we were dealing with teenage kids who had nothing to do over the summer, and we were giving them internships and paying them. I'm wondering if Chase is doing that. Is that part of the initiatives as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And we launched the ABP Apprentice Program to reach college students earlier, so freshmen and sophomores. So it doesn't matter if you didn't come from a corporate background. We want to get you earlier so that you can navigate and see you could be successful. And one of the things we did that I was proud of this summer is that even though we had to do this internship virtually and shortened it, I'm paying these students for the entire summer, right? Because I don't want them shortchanged because of COVID-19. And we're still gonna make sure they have access to, again, the content, the tools, they grow their careers and are able to still perform well. So yes, we have to create these opportunities, these internships. Another one of the things we did this year that I was proud of is we launched a hardship fund, because 45% of Black students come from poverty zip codes. So we launched the ABP Hardship Fund to ensure that students don't have to drop out because they have a financial hardship. I remember cats that, like, you know, owed the bursar's office $500, so they couldn't like graduate or couldn't register for class, right? And so then that's the worst of all worlds, because you end up dropping out, you have the student loan debt and no degree. So we're using that hardship fund to help these students stay in, but also look to then hire them and provide financial help. So yes, we're starting with students and try to incorporate it and make it part of freshman orientation for as many schools as we can.
It is. Toby, I have a question. You are Nigerian, but you grew up in the SWAT, which I'm assuming is a predominantly African American neighborhood. So I did some research, and you said you got experiences from both sides of the coin, from the Black American experience and the African experience. So my question is, like, we're in a day and age where Afrobeats is really, you know, the vibe right now, and even, like, you know, going back to Ghana was a big thing last year. How can we bridge the gap between the different cultures, between African Americans and people on the continent, Africa, for not just economic development, although that is important, but just culturally and just different things of that nature. You have a unique perspective on that. So I think that that's one of the things that can actually drive the needle as well if we do more collaboration across continents. So have you thought about that?
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like I low-key am designed to, like, be a portion of the bridge. I feel like every firstborn generation, Nigerian, Ghanaian, Kenyan, whoever, like, is first generation born here, who went to school and had a full, like, Black American experience, and then came to the crib, and it was like he was in the village. Like, you are wired. I'm being serious. Like, you wired different. So, like, I said this one time when I did a little interview at Harvard, and some of my Nigerians who still in Nigeria, they got a little offended. But I'm telling you, we got a real, like, unique perspective. So when you hear somebody in Nigeria trying to rap, do pure hip hop, like, you can tell if somebody from Nigeria trying to do hip hop, you're like, bro, I promise you, I see what you're trying to do, but it really don't boom. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, but if you heard them doing like what Wiz Kid and like when you hear them on some Afrobeat stuff, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's the vibe. And then like Black Americans hear that, like, oh, I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? And like, and they want that piece. But it's like, so when I do hip hop, I don't sound like a Nigerian trying to sound Black. I'm a Nigerian who had a pure Black experience and had a pure Nigerian experience. So when it comes off as authentic and like unique in itself, to where like somebody like Wale can do the same thing, to where he could play like sample. I don't even know if y'all know the song like that. Sweet mother. I ain't really Nigerian like that, but see, I ain't.
yeah, that's on.
I'm saying, but it's people, all the first generation born people in the U.S. and abroad or wherever, whether you in the U.K. or whatever, like, I feel like our perspective is specifically designed to be a bridge for everybody to go back and do what we doing here, there. But it comes with, you know what I'm saying, nations doing like what Ghana is doing. Like, Ghana is making it so live to just want to go back. Ghana make it feel like you're going to Wakanda. When I saw all the videos and stuff and everybody being there, I'm like, yo, that's really what I wish everybody was on. Let's take what we doing here, go set up shop over there, and like really flourish. Like, that's really the dream. And I feel like eventually that's what it's going to get to on the low.
That's a fact. Dope. So they just let us know. We got one more question. So say cool. Chase to Change is the slogan, I believe, that you guys are going with. So yeah, you know, we're in a time right now where a lot of companies have different initiatives, and salute to everybody that's making a point. But what is the last thing that you want to leave the people with that will, you know, solidify Chase's commitment to the Black community moving forward, not just, you know, this year, but in the next decades to come?
Yeah, no, definitely. We all are out here chasing the change. And in addition to chasing it, you want to make it grow. And so the message I would leave is that this is, despite everything going on, we're at a point in history where we are going to, you know, overcome this and have access, in my view, to greater opportunities. But we have to force that to happen. It's not going to just happen just because. And so I think what we're going to do from Advancing Black Pathways is just to double down on our investment in the Black community across all of these areas. And so financial health will remain critically important. Entrepreneurship, whether you're an artist, and entrepreneur, right? So making sure we are providing access to the tools that they had, that they need, so they can be successful. And then we're also, if you want to take a different route and go corporate, we really don't care what route you want to go. We want to definitely be helping and assisting on that journey.
So Toby, we're going to end with this, man. Our slogan is assets over liabilities, right? And as an artist, man, I want you to think about this. Your best financial decision and your worst financial decision.
My best financial decision is once I paid off Fats Hyundai Accent, driving it still to this day. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about what nobody think. That thing get me to A to B, and I'm not trying to impress no, none of y'all. Bro, I got me a wife. I got kids. We Gucci. Worst financial decision. I'll be honest with you. I don't really got nothing. I'm cheap, and I still, you know what I'm saying? I still maneuver like I don't need much. So I think, hold on, let me give you one. Let me force one real quick. What's a bad financial decision? this whole little towel set that that Fat just made me buy, and all the towels that she bought, they all like just be linted up, and they just shed every single time you wash them, and they're useless. That's what my worst financial decision is. Yeah, make sure this go live so Fat can run this back.
Scratch. But I like your mindset, though, and he said it earlier that, again, he operated, you know, even without the budget. In that point, he was talking about the budget for, you know, promotion, et cetera. And I think that if you keep that mindset, the more successful you become. Like, at the end of the day, I didn't grow up like I live. I'm going to be quite real on that, right? I had a Pell Grant, like, you know, free and reduced lunch, the whole nine. But because I kept the mentality that I wasn't going to just be a spender and have to prove to people that I'm doing well. And that's the mistake we make. We're too busy trying to prove, whereas, you know, brother here is like, no, I'm good, because if you're not on my journey, like, why am I impressing you, right? Like, my music, my craft speaks for me. And that's how you're able to build wealth. And I have, again, three kids, he has two. Like, you have a mindset shift when you talk about building that generational wealth for them. So the things that may have mattered, you know, as a single guy, like, doesn't really matter as you're a father and you're thinking about generational wealth and what you're going to leave for them and for their children.
Yep.
Nah, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Toby, keep up the great work. We are fans, and we are
watching
from you. Yeah. When we come to Houston after this COVID-19 thing is over, hopefully we can get it. We got a lot of love in Houston. Shout out to Don Key. You know him?
Lil Kiki?
Yeah, that's our guy.
Y'all, Kiki is like legendary.
Yeah, that's our guy.
Like, hold on, maybe they know another Kiki out there.
Nah, just one.
He came to our event in Houston. Yeah. Remember we ran into him and Paul Wall.
We flew back to New York with him and Paul Wall.
Shout out to Houston. We got a lot of love in Houston. We have a Jay Prince story too.
Not the name, just to act like it was somebody and see what happened, but just joking.
but Toby, man, when we come to Houston, we definitely got to connect, man. But once again, we definitely are fans of your music and just the whole vibe that you got. I really think that is dope. So keep up the great work, and say cool. It was a pleasure being introduced to you.
Yeah, definitely.
And hopefully we can stay in touch and keep up the great work that you're doing. I think it's great that we actually, because you guys are in different spaces, but we got to highlight a variety of different people in the Black experience, because everybody has a part to play and everybody is doing it on a different path, whether it's in the corporate world, whether it's through music, whether it's through entrepreneurship, whether it's through fashion, whether it's through spoken word, whether it's through activism. And we can never downplay another person's position. It's like, you know, a basketball team. Everybody's got their own roles to play, and no one person is more important than a team. And we're all a team at the end of the day. So thank you to both of you gentlemen. And thank you to United Masters, the good folks of United Masters.
That's what I said, man. And we always stress equality and equity is important, but economic empowerment is the other E that we have to stress. And everybody here is part of that. So I appreciate y'all, brothers.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.